We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Last night, watching the Lakers-Nuggets game, game two for them, it reminded me of game one of the NBA Finals that year. And with mere seconds on the board, the Cavs had a chance to steal one from Golden State. And that series was over in short order. I think if the Cavs win that series...
No, I definitely remember it.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was at.
It was the LeBron hands out, J.R. Smith trying not to look him in the eyes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That one. Well,
I made the you gesture
and it was actually
Nick.
Perfect. Like, yeah, the LeBron, like, what are you doing? Look. And like everybody felt like if you ended up actually winning that game when JR did what JR did, we love JR. We're not trying to relitigate
big
for
JR
Swish.
Smith fans. He's a champion.
But like, if you win that game, that series might go differently. I'm not saying you win, because again, it was LeBron and the Bronettes. But like, you win that game, steal home court advantage. It puts all the pressure on Golden State, a team that was, with Kevin Durant, they didn't have the same Teflon mindset that they did without him. In some weird way, Kevin disrupted it. While he made them better, he disrupted the perfect offense the NBA's ever seen when it was just Draymond, Steph, and Klay. So he disrupted that, even though, again, he was worth it when he turned into an ISO bot damn near all the time. And then you could tell it wasn't a perfect fit in the locker room because KD is KD and Draymond and him had some traction there. So that game, to me, if the Cavs win that, I don't know they win the series, but damn, I think it might have ended up being one of the best series of all time.
I totally agree with that. And obviously when LeBron, after the game, breaks his hand, I mean, it's over at that point. And still, they had sort of a chance to get back in the series, but not with LeBron banged up like that. And it was devastating.
And they knew.
Oh, yeah.
They knew it was over. Kind of felt that way watching last night's debacle with the Lakers blowing a 20-point lead and giving back home court advantage, which would have been gained if you beat Denver, because then you're obviously going to LA for game three. Like, we can talk about whether the same thing, like, that was literally the moment where I thought, oh my God, I think LeBron's leaving. I'd started to feel that way because of the trade of Kyrie Irving, because they had to rebuild the team at the deadline, and let's just say their attempts to rebuild were not great. Like, that deal soured, like, 3 months into the NBA season. Isaiah Thomas wasn't who he was. Jay Crowder was not the same guy here next to LeBron. You knew you were going to get a top-10 pick with the Boston pick, but you didn't know, like, whether it's going to be the 1 pick or the 10 pick or whatever. And then the Cavs refused to trade that. Those all were things that led in my mind thinking LeBron is gone. But then when you lost that game, it was like, if you had won the series, he would have stayed. I really believe that. Maybe just for another year. But I think LeBron would have stayed another year or two if you had won that 2018 finals. And that all is what hinges on game one. I felt damn near the exact same way last night. And this time, the indelible image is LeBron looking like a corpse laying on the ground. Like, he's not reacting. He was so exhausted.
He went full Manziel at Buffalo.
Yes. And he just was laying on the ground, just emotionless, just... You could tell, just drained because of that loss. That's what last night's Lakers collapse reminded me of. I don't know it'll lead to the same thing, but watching you go, what is it, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, that's what the Lakers did last night.
Yeah, I still think they've got a little bit of a chance because of who they have on their team. But you're not going to get a better night from AD. You're certainly not going to get a better night from D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
Those guys were absolutely on fire, and they got themselves a 20-point lead and blow it.
Well, and
good.
No.
I don't know how you recover from that. I know you're going home, but still.
Well, and I think the Davis thing is the best. It was 32 points, 11 rebounds, a block. Two assists, like he was everywhere.
He couldn't miss to start the game, man.
He was
8 for 9.
And when you lose that kind of game, so the reason why I hearken back to game one of 2018 is the Cavs knew they missed their opportunity to take that series or make it a series. I think the Lakers walked off that court last night, and I think you saw it on their faces. They might be able to extend this thing. They might be able to take it to 7 games because they actually are a worthy adversary of Denver because you have LeBron. LeBron's playing pretty darn well, by the way, even if he's not vintage LeBron, and AD is playing out of his mind against Jokic. I think they knew walking off the court that was their way. And it's tough for me to see, like, the organization seems pretty reticent to, like, build around and, like, give up future assets and, like, do the things necessary. Like, it almost feels like there's a standoff going on. LeBron wants to use his considerable weight to get that team as competitive as it can get every year. And the Lakers, I think, have finally drawn a line in the sand and said, we've given you everything. We've rebuilt this roster about 3 times in 3 years. It's on you. And I think that sets this summer up to be really interesting. Because it almost felt like, at this deadline, it felt like the Lakers were calling LeBron's bluff. And if I'm LeBron, I use that second game to say, you didn't give me enough, give me more, or I'll consider leaving. It's totally different than Cleveland. Because LeBron came back to fulfill the promise. There was still always the, I don't want to say, a bad relationship with Dan. It was always a detente. It was always a relationship you weren't sure about who really felt what way about the other person. I think LeBron wants to live in LA. I think that's a huge feather in the cap of the Lakers. But man, if I'm LeBron, yeah, they've given you AD. They just have not consistently put the kind of players around that can turn you into a top 4 seed consistently. And what that's meant you have to do and what AD has to do is double the heavy lifting because you're constantly playing from behind. You're constantly having to go on the road because you're constantly a 6, 7, or 8 seed. That's what I felt like came to a head last night. Everything that's been brewing in LA for the last year and a half. I don't know if that's heavy-handed. I don't know if that's melodramatic. Like, that's the weight that I felt watching that thing go down the way it went down last night.
You may be right about that, Nick. I don't know exactly how this summer is going to go. Certainly this series as well, because the Lakers could easily come back 2-2. Easily. The Nuggets didn't play that well last night. And again, they got really good players. You know, AD and LeBron, if they decide that they're going to turn it on, they can still make a bit of a run here. And also, like, if you're talking about LeBron, where he's going to go, like, how much does the Bronny James thing factor in?
I don't know. That's the wild card. 2 years ago, I think we were all certain that Bronny would dictate where LeBron goes.
Yeah.
One, I don't know teams. But listen, I still think any team would line up and move heaven and earth to get LeBron. And I mean any team in the NBA. And the reason being is it's not just because of his ability to win with you. It's because of the box office. If you put LeBron anywhere, if you put LeBron with the Knicks, if you put LeBron anywhere, he is going business-wise, he will pay for himself, even if he's a pain in the ass and he forces you to tear the team apart and does the same thing he did in LA that he did in Cleveland that people like to complain about, the GM thing. I think LeBron, it pays for himself 10 times over just from the business side of things. So I do think any team would line up for that. I also don't think they would be as outwardly excited about it. Like if LeBron said, even in 2018, Ham considering coming to your. They would do the Gandolfini video again. They would do.
And by the way, I watched that for the first time last night.
It was
pretty freaking awesome.
I will say
it was so cheesy, kudos. But so good.
It was like right on there. If you guys haven't seen that, I think it was
Pablo Torre's
podcast. Pablo Torre's podcast put it out there. But like I think 5 years ago, 6 years ago, people would have lined up publicly to try and get LeBron there. I don't know it happens the same way now. I think his age has complicated things. I think the fact that he's not the guy that he was even 4 years ago complicates things. He's still really freaking good. He's not dictating games the way he did 4 years ago, which, by the way, he shouldn't. He's 39. But I think that I do think inevitably this thing should go 6 or 7 and LA should still have a chance at it. I still think there's a really good chance we're looking back at game 2 and that maybe they, even in their heart of hearts, know that's the moment the series got away from us. And I think a first-round exit for LeBron, given everything the Lakers had to do to get to the play-in, to be the 7th seed, for the right to face Denver. Again, I'm not making predictions here. I just think it puts them and him in a really precarious situation, much like he was in 2018. I don't think he's as willing to leave now as he was in 2018, because LA might be a little harder to leave than Cleveland when you've already left Cleveland before. But I could see him saying, I came here to win championships. You're not putting me in a position to win championship. And LeBron and AD together, great. It's like the roster still as jankily built as the 2018 Cavs. Like, granted, he didn't have an AD here. God bless Kevin Love. He didn't have an AD, a guy that could take over the game the way that AD does, offensively and defensively. But, man, he doesn't have a JR there. Like, Reeves is okay, but, like, you kind of saw when he's not hitting his threes, he really shouldn't be out there playing 33 minutes in the playoffs. You know, like, I'll be honest, I actually think the biggest mistake they made was blowing up the team that made the run last year. Guys like Jared Vanderbilt, who I think still plays there, but all the guys that they had around them, I think that was the biggest mistake they made. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. He joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's always good to be with you guys.
I just want to know, did you debate long before making fun of Russell Wilson's first pitch the other day on social media?
No. I mean, that's just standard operating procedure. No, absolutely not. So anyhow, whatever. I mean, it was a pretty good throw. Like I said, that I was surprised he didn't scramble for a strike. So, you know, especially over the middle. So anyhow, but that's all good. That's all, you know, that's all just in good fun and games as far as I'm concerned.
More successful, Russ's time in Denver or that first pitch?
The first pitch by far was better than anything that happened in Denver over the last 2 years. And that was, you know, I mean, it was awful. And even, you know, even last year when people are saying, oh, it's so much better and this, that, and the other, it still was, you know, woefully inadequate compared to what you spent and what you thought you were getting. You know, it just is, you know, you can get that, like there are games like you got out of a, you know, a sophomore QB at Smoky Hill High School that could have done some of the things that he did. So, you know, you just had such great expectations, and I'll admit that I had great expectations. And then I saw what we were getting, and it just, you know, it certainly soured. There's no question.
So I think what's funny about it is I saw the people go after you, and it's like, guys, he stunk in Denver. There's really no way to defend it, and it was a funny joke by you. I just think we've realized that you could say anything about even, like, the most hated person in the world, and there's going to be, like, five people defending that most hated person, of course, which Russ isn't. My point is, there's always somebody acting like a joke is some sort of war crime.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is that aspect of it. And then, you know, there are a group of people out there, you know, they're a minority of people, but they're a very loud minority. I call them the Rusties. And, you know, the Rusties think that, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. And, and that Sean Payton didn't change his offense for Russ to have success. And, you know, this guy who's, you know, the same breath that they call Sean Payton one of the most egotistical people in the world. And, hey, listen, man, he's got an ego. There's no question about it. But the same breath that the Rusties will say he's the most egotistical person in the world would say also that he didn't change his offense to suit Russ. Like, he wanted to lose. Like, he sabotaged Russ. Like, do you understand how incongruent that is, that you would sabotage Russ when you're so egotistical? All you want to do is win? I mean, it's just stupid. And the bottom line is, I had a conversation, you know, after the season was over with Drew Brees, and Drew Brees said to me, point blank, I didn't recognize the offense they were running. Well, wait a minute. You just operated that offense for 15 years. You didn't recognize the offense they were running? Why? Because they changed it to actually fit Russ's skill set. So, you know, it's a lot of people that don't know anything about football that are just Russ fans. It's kind of like the Tebowites here in Denver for a while. That was just – it was mind-boggling to deal with them, and it's mind-boggling to deal with some of the people that, you know, that think Russ has done no wrong.
So this weekend, the Browns have just 6 picks, 2 in the top 100, none in the first round. What should the expectations be for Cleveland?
You know, when you're starting to talk about second round picks and third round picks, and those are the picks that are going to make up the majority of your roster. And to me, those are where a lot of the value lies. And the other thing is where I think the potential of less mistakes lie. So show me a team that really does well in the second, third, and fourth round, and I'll show you a team that does a great job of scouting based on film study, not based on athletic talent. And so what ends up happening to you a lot in the first round is you'll see some idiosyncrasies, you'll see some flaws, you'll see some things that you don't like, but because the guy is so athletically gifted, you talk yourself into, hey man, under our expert tutelage and coaching, we'll coach that out of him. And in my personal experience, that doesn't happen. If you're flawed as a player, athleticism doesn't make up for those flaws. And the first round oftentimes is we're going to make excuses for a player because he is so gifted athletically. And, you know, I say it all the time, football is easy for football players. It's really hard for athletes. I want football players first and foremost, athletes second. And so that to me is a great place when you're drafting later and you don't have that first round to really dive into the film study and really understand what you're trying to pick and the guys that fit what you're coaching and how you want to build your football team.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So the Browns have put a lot into this wide receiver room. They've got money invested in Amari Cooper. They just traded for Jerry Jeudy, as we've talked about. They did a pick swap to get Elijah Moore here. Cedric Tillman's here, the third-round pick last year. Should that preclude the Browns from taking a wide receiver at 54?
Yes.
Why?
I look at the wide receiver position, and I know we've been duped into believing that wide receivers, you know, are the reason football teams win. And it has, you know, to me, it has very little to do with it in an organization or in a league that is a dependent league. You know, 10 guys have to do their job exceptionally well for a wide receiver to sniff a football. And so I don't understand why we've put so much value on the position other than, I mean, I understand that, you know, the league is about throwing the football and all the rules are bent toward throwing the football. But, you know, I'm a big line of scrimmage guy, obviously, offensive lines, defensive lines, run the football, do those things to take the pressure off your quarterback, to take the pressure off the passing game. And, you know, the last guy to to win a Super Bowl that led the league in receiving, that led the league in yardage, that led the league in, you know, touchdowns, whatever, was Cooper Kupp. The guy who did it before that was in 1988, it was Jerry Rice. So, like, you know, we sit there and make a big deal out of, you know, the wide receiver position. And I frankly think it's a bit overvalued. And we've seen, you know, what happened in Kansas City. They've won back-to-back Super Bowls, and they've gotten decimated in their wide receiver room. Guess what? They've got a quarterback that can make it happen. They adjusted with their tight end in the middle of the football field. They ran the ball a lot better, and they still were able to win a championship with you know, no wide receiver other than Rashee Rice really, really making many plays for them.
Mark, the news came down yesterday that the Broncos had traded for Zach Wilson. I know people are making fun of this trade, and Zach hasn't been great in New York. I mean, I look at what they gave up, and you know, for a guy who's got some talent, maybe a new, you know, a change of scenery could help the kid. Do you like it, love it, hate it?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great because it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
And frankly, I'm telling you, you go back to 2021, that kid athletically, you know, arm talent and athletically is as gifted as anybody, probably more gifted than just about anybody in this draft. And so, you know, you've got benefit of that. Now, it doesn't cost you anything. And then you hope that, you know, he's grown from a maturity standpoint. And then, you know, you've got to basically probably untrain some of the things he's been trained. But I'll give you, for instance, you know, Sam Darnold takes a beating. He's on his fourth team after a year of football rehab in San Francisco. And I'm talking to Kyle Shanahan because I did the last two San Francisco games just about, you know, that kind of journey for Sam Darnold. And he goes, listen, Stink, he goes, he was drafted by the Jets. And at that point in time, they had hired Jeremy Bates, who was an assistant with Denver, under, you know, the regime that had Peyton Manning. So Jeremy comes into the Jets and tries to install the Peyton Manning offense. Kyle looked at me and goes, there's one guy in the world that can run the Peyton Manning offense, and that's Peyton Manning. And now you're asking a rookie to be in complete and total control at the line of scrimmage of everything we're doing. Impossible. Then he gets traded to the Carolina Panthers under Matt Rhule, which was a real collegiate offense. And there was no progression passing in that offense to speak of. So the first time he learned progression passing in the NFL was in his fourth year after Matt Rhule got fired. So you tell me, like, is it his fault or is it bad coaching? I think there's a lot of people in this, a lot of people that cover the NFL, a lot of people in the league that think NFL coaching is just because you're in the NFL, it's great. There is a lot of piss-poor coaching in the National Football League, I guarantee you. And there's a lot of really bad, you know, teachers in the National Football League. And a lot of what kind of success you're going to have has to do with where you get drafted and who is actually coaching you. And I always think, you know, I'm blessed. My own career, I had Joe Bugle, who, you know, in my estimation is a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. I had Jim Hanifin, same thing. And I had Alex Gibbs, three legends in the National Football League when it comes to coaching offensive line. So I was coached exceptionally well. There's a lot of kids that don't get coached well at all, and their careers end up being a bust simply because of where they got drafted and who was trying to teach them.
Mark, given what you're saying, people have used that 2021 class with Wilson and Trey Lance and Mac Jones and Justin Fields. Four of the five quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 16 have new zip codes this offseason, or in the last 12 months. The only guy that hasn't been dealt or given up on is Trevor Lawrence. People have pointed that and said the NFL has a quarterback problem. Do you agree that the...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
NFL has a quarterback problem.
Well, sure, but the NFL doesn't invest in anything, right? They let college coach, you know, college. And to no fault of their own, the college game doesn't even, it's not even close to what you do in the NFL. I'll tell you, the reason J.J. McCarthy is shooting up draft boards is because he actually operates an offense that has a progression passing game that gets into 12 personnel, 21 personnel, 22 personnel. It gets into changing formations and shifting and motioning and actually calling plays. You know, instead of looking at the sideline and going, hey, you know, red barn rooster chicken, that's what we're running. You actually have to get in there and be able to call a play and be able to understand what that play is. And that's why he's shooting up draft boards. The other thing about college football is it's static formations. It's 2x2s, 3x1s, 3x2 formations, right? And it's pick out the best matchup you've got. And if that guy doesn't come open, pull the ball and run around and scramble him and make a throw. I mean, it's a very simplified. As a matter of fact, I was talking to an offensive coordinator in college that used to be an offensive coordinator in the National Football League. And I said, how much of your playbook is pared down to make sure that it fits what you do in college? He goes, oh, over 50%. We run 50% plus less in the college game than we run in the professional game. So, it's not a shock to me that 75% of the guys aren't worth a squirt of piss when they get in the National Football League because they're not ready. They're not coached. They're not taught. And the game is different. The game is played. The base formation in college is four wides. When you ever get in four wides in the NFL? Never. 2 minute. You know, hey, we're throwing a Hail Mary. You just don't. So, college football is a 7-on-7 game. The NFL isn't built that way. You know, the hash marks make it different. Everything is different. So it's really hard to evaluate these college quarterbacks, and it doesn't surprise me that 75% of them fail.
So what's the fix, or is there a quick fix?
Well, I think one of the things that the NFL needs to do, and, you know, they don't listen to me, and I've had this conversation with Roger Goodell, you need to invest in if it's the UFL, whatever it is, you need to invest in that so kids that come out of college, especially offensive linemen and quarterbacks, can actually work on their craft. There needs to be an investment because you're not doing it because, hey, college provides, you know, its own feeder league, right? But that college offense is nothing like what happens in the NFL for the most part. But the NFL is they're making money hand over fist. And hey, even as the game deteriorates, guess what? The numbers continue to go up. People continue to watch. So what would the NFL care? Like, why would we invest any of the money that we're making hand over fist to fix the game? Because, you know, we're all addicted. I always say it's like selling crack to crack addicts, you know? I mean, we cannot get enough of NFL football, no matter how crappy it gets. We're still locked in. And so they're Teflon. Why would they invest any money to fix it?
Mark, the Broncos need a quarterback. They do not have a top three pick this year, but there have been whispers that they could trade into that third pick. If you could have any one of the quarterbacks not named Caleb Williams on this roster, is there one you prefer, or do you feel safe with any of those quarterbacks?
No, I would never feel safe with every one of the quarterbacks. I mean, I think Drake May is like inaccurate underneath. Like, I think the way we evaluate quarterbacks, we evaluate big plays. We watch a big play over the top and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, he threw a post to an area and the guy ran underneath it, and what a great throw. Unbelievable. Who cares? Like, how many times do you do that a game? How many times does that happen for you a game? Like, I want the boring. I want to see completions. I want to see you execute an offense. I want to see you throw, you know, a stick route that's open. I want to see you throw the drag curl, the flat curl. I want to, like Drake May was woefully inaccurate underneath in the passing game, the intermediate to shallow passing game. Like, that's where you make money. I want to see boring, because that's what ends up winning. Hey, give me a second and five consistently, and we're going to win a lot of football games. But, you know, we just tend to look at the big throws. Oh, look how athletic he is. He scrambled around. Whoop-de-doo. I don't care. So the one guy, to answer your question, I wouldn't trade up for any of them. there's not one of them I would trade up for. But if I was forced to trade up, I would probably trade up for J.J. McCarthy, because I think he's the only guy in this draft in that top tier six quarterbacks that actually operated an offense that looked similar to what you're going to get in the NFL.
Hey, real quick, Mark, about 30 seconds here. Do you know who the Red Panda is? She performs at basketball games.
And have you seen her work?
Yes. Yeah, on the really tall unicycle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So she was in Cleveland last night, and I was at the game, and she performed at halftime. Everyone's raving about this. Is she overrated?
Well, not in the kicking bowls over your head and catching them on top of your head game.
It's a very specific niche.
She's the best in the business when it comes to that. I mean, if that's your thing, then yes, she is as good as it gets. That happens to not be my thing. So, like, I don't give a rip. But, you know, good for her. She has got, like you said, a very specific skill that, I don't know how
you get into. It's like Liam Neeson and Taken.
Right. I guess. Yes, exactly. I don't know how you get into that skill set, but she might be one of one. She may be the only person that has that skill.
Mark, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the other NFL Super Bowl.
All right, you guys take care.
Thanks so much. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, The Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Make sure to follow The Stinkin' Truth Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. I'm glad you asked Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL insider, about Red Panda. I do not think she is overrated. I am sick of seeing the tweets about it. I will just tell you, I saw too many... People are using Red Panda to pander in town. I call it Red Pander.
Red Pandering.
And I will not have it.
So here's why, Nick. Obviously, you follow almost everyone that tweets about Cleveland sports.
Yeah.
Okay, so people at the game, the media members, were tweeting about the Red Panda last night like crazy. We don't always get a chance to see the Red Panda. She's a very busy woman, traveling all across the world and certainly across this country, doing basketball games and football games, you name it.
Yeah, all the games.
You name it, she does it. Anyway, so I was watching last night, and it's the first time I think I've really mesmerized by it. Yeah. And especially when they put it on the Jumbotron. So like you're right there seeing a zoom in of how she's doing these bowls and getting them to flip onto her head and also using Moondog last night as a prop. It was great.
So I want to make it very clear. If you were at the game and espousing your love, and you just happen to do it on social media, no beef with you. It is people I know for a fact who weren't at the game, who quote tweeted it to pander to people to get likes on social media.
Like quote tweet a tweet from like a media member that was
like
there?
I think Fedor tweeted about Red Panda.
Daryl put out a video.
Okay,
Red Panda.
Then it was Daryl. Yeah, I saw like 17 media members who I know for a fact were not there espousing their love of Red Panda, which I've never heard on air. So it just felt like a baseless pandering moment to get a couple likes on social media. She is great. She is one of one. Stink is right. Like, she is one of one.
How do you know that you have that talent? Like, when do you wake up and go, you know what? Look at that unicycle over there. I bet you I could ride that.
I would.
Not only can I ride that, maybe I... What else do we got around here?
Get some... Do we have any, like, bowls or something?
I don't know.
Nice little... Yeah.
You know, I am hungry, but...
Yeah.
Why don't I
instead of making ramen, why don't we go ahead and just...
Well, it's got to be ramen, Nick.
Because ramen is delicious and it's made in a bowl, you jerk. Trying to jam me up. I'll jam you right back.
That was a jam.
But no, this is not against Red Panda. It is against Red Pandering. It is against people who are not there, who do... Because what it is it's nobody's anti-Red Panda. So what it is it's just, we got to go, let's see how many likes we can get on social media, and it's fake. Unless you see her, the majesty of Red Panda in person, I don't want to hear, it looks so great in this video that I was watching. You mean the 15-second video? Did you see the whole thing? Or are you just swooping at the end for a couple cheap likes? I think there's too much of that going around. And listen, when you see me tweet about Red Panda, it's because I'm at a spot watching the Red Panda cook. All right? I'm not going to be using it for cheap likes on social media when I already got enough likes. It's okay. So to me, it's the Red Panda hype and fakeness that comes with it. That's where the Red Pandering, as it will now be known, That's where my issue is.
All right.
But you watch it.
You say
everything about
it. I didn't tweet about it. I just thought it was great.
Yeah.
I think at the end she ended up getting like 8 bowls.
Yeah.
Right on her head.
I think it's too easy now.
I think
we got to add like a secondary component that makes it like a bear or something. That was an extreme example.
She doesn't miss.
I know, but because she does, she can time everything. We need some sort of other variable.
I think there are magnets in those things.
Wait. So now you're doing the opposite of red pandering.
No, I'm thinking about it because it is odd that she never misses.
I mean, that we see. People just don't post it online.
They get sucked right in the bottom bowl.
216-474-0092. Red Panda. Do you like it when you see it, or do you just use it for cheap likes like Ken Carmen? I mean, like other people in the Cleveland media might.
What was that?
That's what I get for taking a cheap shot at Ken. The opposite of red pandering.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.